The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour One Podcast.
Hey, everybody, pleasure. Good afternoon on this Thursday, and we have a lot to do today. Some really interesting guests, and maybe some news as we welcome you to yet another program. Really appreciate you dropping by, and hopefully folks are safe. It's been a brutal hurricane season, and for the folks in Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, and the Carolinas, it has been a rough day. So if you're watching us by candlelight, we still appreciate it. Let's let you know that we will be taking your phone calls in a moment at 855-242-7285. You want to get in early, we will get to you quickly. A number of guests. Let's begin with some headlines, and the news continues to be iffy. Well, maybe not so much iffy, but not good for Miles Brennan. He is out. So we will see a freshman in the game on the road at Jordan-Hare Stadium. That is a afternoon game. And Ed Orgeron trying to put the best possible face on. Something that Mike Leach is struggling to do right now. He has discussed a number of defections, including Kylan Hill. Mike Leach earlier.
You just take it as it comes, really. I mean, whether guys are looking for a better opportunity or whether, guys abide by the rules, that type of thing. But, you just deal with it as it comes. But, like I say, those guys, they're into another chapter in their life, and so are we. So we wish them the best. But, we're really only concerned with the guys that are in the program that we're coaching. So
is there a more disingenuous line in the lexicon than we wish them the best? I always get that. Somebody leaves work, hey, we wish them the best. We don't really care. Anyway, let's get to the next headline. Dan Mullen, he's against Election Day. No, not really. He's against this new rule. By the way, I'm against Election Day. He's against this new rule that is allowing players to have the day off so they can go vote, even though, as we all know, most people in this country, or the majority of people, have been able to vote by mail or vote in person early. Dan Mullen on the big day coming up.
We've had to redo the entire week's schedule. Mm-hmm. Normally we're off on Sunday, and that's a day of rest and recovery after a game. We can't do that now. We have got to go immediately into preparation for the next game. So again, we're doing, I think safety is number one for us within our program. But we also have to make sure our guys are prepared and safe for the game. And, they've really kind of thrown that off. So I'm not a big fan of that rule. I think, hey, there's plenty of opportunities if the guys to vote early. We had a lot of great things planned for our guys to be able to do that. And if they want to vote on Election Day, heck, there's plenty of time during the day to go do that, for the guys.
As we always say, vote early and vote often. Meanwhile, Big Ten has nixed Nebraska playing Chattanooga. I mean, I continue to be marvel at Nebraska's chutzpah. The Big Ten had a steadfast rule. We play Big Ten games because the game was canceled this weekend with Wisconsin. Nebraska just went out on their own and invited Chattanooga to come on in. And the Big Ten said, you know what? That's not how we work around here. Nebraska has been in the Big Ten for a while. You think they might want to read the rule book. And finally, amid developing science, does Big Ten's 21-day COVID protocol still make sense? That's an easy answer, and the answer is no. And the Big Ten, no matter what it does, can't seem to get out of its own way. We mentioned that will be among the stories that we will be talking about. A number of guests will be dropping by, including Chris Lowe, who wrote that Nebraska story a minute ago. Chris will be with us in a couple of minutes. Josh Bertaccini, he's the host of the Red Zone in Northwest Arkansas. We're on that station, and we can't wait to talk to Josh about the Razorbacks. Griff is back, and the athletic director at Missouri, Jim Sterk, he will join us later on. Let's start off in New York and check in with Tom first up. Hey, Tom, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I hope all's well.
Thank you very much.
I just had a question. I watched your opening monologue about the Nebraska game, and I've been following this since we talked. I talked to you yesterday about the game possibly being canceled. It ended up being canceled with Wisconsin. And I've been reading all the papers and stuff from Nebraska, and I just wanted to get your feeling on that. I thought Nebraska did it the right way in that they reached out looking for an opponent, but they also stated that it had to be approved by the Big Ten. And now the Big Ten said no. So I just wanted to know why you were so hard on them in that respect. I mean,
First of all, the idea of going out and getting it, I mean, there was no way that this was going to happen. All you have to do is make a phone call. You call the Big Ten office and say, listen, this is what we're thinking about doing before we start pursuing it. And they say you can't do it. So you don't you don't get everybody's hopes up. In the end, you're right, Tom. It doesn't make a bit of difference. It's just Nebraska seems to beat to a different drummer than everyone else in the Big Ten. Got to try winning some football games, you know? That might be their best route to get some notoriety.
No, Paul, I'm a realistic fan. I just feel like they've been under the cloud lately with first year of the game.
Well, they are the ones who decided after the Big Ten shut down that, man, we're going to go we'll go play in another league. We don't care. That's my only point.
No, but Paul, they weren't the only Big Ten team to do that. Ohio State wanted to play other games.
They wanted to play other games, but Nebraska pushed. No reason to argue here, Tom. But Nebraska is always pushing the envelope. That's my point. That's all. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. I don't know. Is this a Francesca?
Hello, I'm Bob from Brooklyn, New York.
But we go from New York to Brooklyn. I guess it's one and the same. Maybe not. Hey, Bob.
I know. I think LSU played the Auburn Tigers Saturday. Can Auburn Tigers win the SEC college football game?
I don't know. That's a big question mark, but I appreciate the call. Wes is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Wes.
Hey, thank you. The first time caller.
Good deal. Thank you for calling. You there, Wes? Man.
I'm here.
Yeah, we'll go right ahead. You're on the air.
What do you think about the quarterback situation with Jaren Guantanamo?
I think it's a mess. How long are you going to stay with Jared Guarantano? That is my question to you. What do you think?
That's what I think too. I think we should give Harrison Bailey a chance.
I think at this point you need to go. We're not going to win a title this year. We're probably going to have at best 500 record. Probably not even that good. Let's start thinking about the future and figure out what we need to do. I haven't seen any indicators that is going to happen, but that's what I would do. Hugh is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Hugh. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. A couple of quick things. You know, we've all pretty well decided who three of the participants in the playoffs are going to be if they hold form. I've got an idea on the fourth one.
Sure.
I think from the Rocky Mountains West, BYU's the class team.
They look good.
They really are, Paul, and having 25-year-old linemen makes a hell of a difference.
I bet it does.
Well, the two-year mission that those kids do, they do a redshirt year, then a two-year church mission, then they come back as a redshirt freshman at 22 years old, and you can figure out yourself 3 years or 4 years later, you've got the makings of an NFL line. And for that reason, I think that's why they're clobbering people the way they are. They're the only team out west, I think, that can play with any of the big three in the East. Now, one other item. I have been ready to put a shoe through my 64-inch TV on many Saturdays watching a quarterback play at Kentucky. I think a couple of things are going to have to happen. Either they're going to come up with Joy Gatewood running behind the center, or they're going to have to find some new coaching. I don't think there's any way around it. I haven't heard anybody that can build a case. Terry Wilson's a nice kid, but he's afraid of getting hit. He's tentative. He misses his hot receivers, and he can float a good ball to the corner. But outside of that, the passing game is non-existent. They're wasting a great offensive line on incapable and incompetent quarterback play. Hopefully we'll see a different look come noon Saturday, Paul.
Great, Hugh. Always good to hear from you. Elijah is in Jacksonville. Hello, Elijah. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I was listening just a minute ago, and I was going to call the bash on Mullen, but I changed my mind. But I wanted to speak a little bit on this whole quarterback situation in Athens. And, you know, I just think Kirby's taken a lot of undeserved heat for the whole Stetson Bennett situation, you know. And I think it's hard to fault him for, you know, having to start a four-string quarterback when, you know, A, you got your first string opt out, and then you got the guy next in line is hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the one thing I don't understand, and let's go back 6 or 7 or 8 weeks, maybe longer, when Jamie Newman left, and all the people that cover the team said the same thing almost in unison, because maybe they were fed that information, that Jamie Newman was getting beat out. Beat out by whom? Can you tell me that?
I got the same question, Paul. I really am. I have zero clue what is going on.
I mean, something there. That's where I think all this began. Now, you're right. Once you get beyond Jamie Newman, who was supposed to be the starter, it has been hard to figure out. Mathis was going to be great. Then it was Daniels. And right now, Stetson is really holding up the ship, but he wasn't supposed to be in this spot.
Right. You know, and I got to tip my hat to him, you know. I know he's not, you know, he's not going to come out like a Joe Burrow or anything, but, you know, he's been doing his job.
No, he's done what he's been asked. I totally agree with you on that. Hey, you need to run. Up against a break, a lot to do. Chris Lowe coming up here in a few minutes on the Big Ten. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Here we welcome you back, and we welcome John to the program from Knoxville. Hey, John, good afternoon.
Yeah, Paul, I was wondering if you thought Hugh Freeze is going to come back to the SEC or the Big 12?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the openings that, and there may not be many, but I think Hugh Freeze will definitely get a head coaching job in a Power 5 league at the minimum. I think he's shown that. He's eminently qualified, and I think he has overcome not only his own demons, but the stigma that he can't handle a big-time job.
Yeah, I think he's a great coach.
We agree on that, and really hope that he gets a major job. Thank you for the call. How about Frank in Queens on this Thursday afternoon? Hey, Frank.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom, Paul. I gotta, you know, you really wear your feelings on your arm. With you lead with Mike Leach, and players leaving, but Dan Mullen is a colossal mess in Florida, who doesn't allow his players to vote, want people to pack in 90,000 people in the stands. This guy should be fired today. This guy is a menace to society, and he's a horrible, horrible leader on each and every way. And the colossal gall that you didn't have to lead with him, but you led with Mike Leach, is absolutely ridiculous, man.
Well, first of all, I think we had both stories in our rundown. Frank, let's not go crazy here. He shouldn't be fired. You can disagree with him, but firing someone because they offer an opinion, that's like living in a third world country where you disagree with someone and they lock you up. I mean, come on.
He obviously does not care about anything but winning football games. Does not care about the safety of any of his players, and he politicizes this left and right.
How has he politicized it?
Okay, I'll tell you right now. He said, "Why don't we listen to our governor?" Just today, Paul, the New York Times, who has very good reviews for your book, so you probably like them. The New York Times came out and said that Governor DeSantis, along with Dr. Atlas, who replaced Fauci and Burks, have been not testing people in Florida because it's too many COVID cases. That is, if that's not politicizing, you tell me what is then, Paul.
Well, first of all, are you going to rely on the authority of the New York Times as your moral compass for all things?
I never said. I just think they have
Well, you're the one. He quoted the governor of his state.
You're a journalist, right? Did you not make your journalism in Tennessee?
First of all, I don't think I need to defend my journalistic credentials, I'll be happy to if you want me to. But he lives in. Let me ask you. He lives in Florida. The governor of the state dictates whether you can have 5,000, 10,000, or 89,000. So he was simply quoting the governor of the state, Ron DeSantis, as his explanation for why they should fill the swamp. I agree with you. I think that was outrageous, but that doesn't mean he should be fired.
Would he be quoting the governor of the state if it didn't have a big elephant next to his name when he's on TV? Probably not, right?
No, I think you're watching too much cable news right now, Frank. He's quoting the governor
of
the state.
I can't stand it. I watched Paul Feinbaum.
He's quoting the governor of the state because the governor of the state is the final judge in that state over what can open and what can't. If he lives in a different state, he wouldn't be able to do that.
I really don't think you believe that. I think he's quoting the governor of the state because that fits his political narrative.
Do you have any other evidence to support your theory that Dan Mullen is trying to push a political agenda on the people that follow him?
Yeah, don't vote. Let's pack the stadium.
He did not say don't vote. First of all, Frank, have you voted yet?
Yes.
I voted. If you have the ability, and the reason I voted is I wasn't sure what I would be doing next Tuesday that could preclude me from going to the polls. And I definitely wanted to vote. I mean, I'm told by both people running for president, this is the most important election in of all time. So my point being, every one of these players, you don't think it's a political statement to turn election day into an off day for athletes? You don't think there's some politics going on there?
Of course there is.
Sure.
By the way, Frank,
which side do you think is pushing that?
I think both sides, but when you put safety in danger,
we're not arguing safety here. We're arguing which political ideology has supported and pushed through the idea that college athletes should be off next Tuesday from practice so they can vote. Would that be one side or the other? You know the answer to that.
Of course I do, but I got to tell you, I really want to say...
But it doesn't fit your political agenda, though.
That's not true at all. But this guy is supposed to be a leader. That's the only reason why I say this. This guy is supposed to be a leader, and he does not stop. Colossal mistake after mistake after mistake. He just doesn't care about anybody winning games. Let's be serious with that. And I got to tell you something else. You have been the best over the last couple of months. You've been a calming force in this crazy world for many people out there, and it's really kind of disappointing that you're taking this kind of stance because this guy is a joke. Take care, Paul.
Okay. First of all, I really appreciate your kind words. I've already said I didn't care for Dan Mullen and what he said. And by the way, his athletic director was here last week, and he didn't support him either. So, Frank, it's not like we all agree with Dan Mullen and we want to see the swamp filled. I was just simply responding to your reactionary statements. Anyway, let's try to grab another call here. And Matt is up next. Hey, Matt, go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing today, my friend, Mr. Paul Fonda?
You're doing great, Mike.
I wanted to tell you this, Paul. I appreciate everything you've done for me on this show and the kindness you've shown me over these years. Paul, I want to make you a promise that if I ever come to College Station, if I ever get into school in College Station, I'm going to do my best to try to meet you, Paul, if I'm going to school there, if I ever get into school, and I hope you do the same for me.
Yeah, well, Matt, well, first of all, I am so disappointed that we were unable to get there this year, but because of the restrictions on travel, we weren't. But
no, I understand, Paul. I completely understand that. I just wanted to tell you that at first before I start talking about those pig suey and get their butts booked when they come to College Station this year.
Well, I can't wait for that game, Matt, because I can't wait to get the reaction of you and all the Arkansas fans afterwards. We're up against a break. We must take a timeout here. Let everyone calm down. And we will talk to Chris Lowe in a couple of moments. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 when we come back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. Great to have everyone here. And it's always great to bring our friend Chris Lowe on the program. He has certainly been writing about countless things, including the Big Ten. And we will talk to him in just a moment. Let's get back to the calls. And Will is chatting with us from North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, man. How are you?
We are doing great.
That's good. That's good. I was wanting to know, what's your thoughts on Henry Toa Toa being one of the best linebackers in the SEC as a sophomore, except maybe Dylan Moses at Alabama? What's your thoughts on
I think he's been fantastic. I just wish... Yeah, he had a few more compliments around him. Tommy is up next in Mississippi. Hey, Tommy, go right ahead.
Paul, I really enjoy your show. Y'all do a fantastic job, and y'all really cover all the sports.
Thank you.
And it's fantastic to listen to you. I had just a couple of questions, a couple of things. It may be the Mike Leach show, because y'all talked about Mike Leach. But when we got him... last year, John Cohen, you'd have thought we were getting Nick Saban's brother because he bragged on him so much. And but Coach Leach, he doesn't recruit very well. And in the SEC, if you don't recruit very well, you're not going to do very well. And then,
yeah, Tommy, you brought up a really interesting situation. Yeah, and that it just seemed like that moment in time was about winning the press conference, and you know, Leach's resume since then has been pretty spotty. I don't want to come down too hard on him because I do think he's a really good coach, but I'm without knowing all the facts, it's been a hard watch to try to figure out exactly what he's doing there. Chris Lowe joining us now from ESPN. Chris has been writing about a number of things, including the latest escapades of Nebraska and the Big Ten. Chris, thanks for the time. And I know Nebraska has been in the Big Ten for a long time, but they just still seem like that recalcitrant child that always gets in trouble when everyone else is getting away with stuff. What gives with these people out there?
Well, the Huskers certainly pushed the envelope, Paul. You know, we heard back when the Big Ten wasn't going to play initially that they just go take their ball and play anywhere they could and make up their own schedule. Now today, or yesterday, trying to fill in the blanks after the Wisconsin game was canceled with Chattanooga, and felt like they had a deal done, but the Big Ten said, you know, sort of the Mutombo wagging their finger, no, not going to happen. We're not going to make up any games outside the league this year, which if you look at the landscape for the Big Ten, that's dicey territory, because if you don't play six games, A, you're not eligible for the Big Ten title, and I also think the fewer games you play in the Big Ten, the less you're going to be considered for a playoff berth.
And no one can predict the next move here, but it does seem like that was always going to be a seriously dangerous issue. And in Wisconsin's case, it's already come back. I know we debated the three-week protocol here, but is there any walking that back in your estimation, Chris?
Doesn't sound like it. Of course, if you would have asked me back in, I don't know, early September or August with what the Big Ten was going to go back on their initial statement that they weren't going to play, I would have said no. And yet here we are. We are playing in the Big Ten. You know, I really think probably too much has been thrown on Kevin Warren, the commissioner there. I think the president threw him in the butt, because I think when they discussed this initially, there was the option out there, let's just wait before we cancel the season and see what happens. You know, very similar to what the SEC and the ACC did, and the president decided, no, we're going to cancel. And what they did is they left themselves, as you well know, no wiggle room. So you don't have dates where you can fill in a game here and there. And I think it's going to be – this will not be the first time that you see a school in the Big Ten have to cancel a game and not be able to make it up this year.
Chris Lowe with us. And people always joke with me about my relationship with Nick Saban, but I'm a distant cousin compared to the favorite child, Chris Lowe, who had a chance to visit with Coach Saban last week when they were up in Knoxville. And of course, everyone knows by now that Saturday will be Coach Saban's 69th birthday. I'm sure it was interesting, as always, to catch up with Coach Saban, but not that it was unusual for you, but tell us about it.
I'll tell you what was unusual about it, and I sort of kidded him about it, that we were talking about the game and this year, how unique this season was, and we started talking about how much it evolved, the game of football has evolved, and he just looked at me and said, I'll tell you what, I didn't think I'd ever say this, but offense has surpassed defense. Good offense beats good defense. And I sort of looked at him like he had three heads and said, you know, I never thought I'd hear you say that. He said, well, I didn't say I liked it. That's the way it is right now. And, you know, he's right. And give him credit, because he's adapted the way he's needed to. You look at his teams and the way they're winning football games, Paul. Think about just 10 years ago. Think about the way Alabama was playing 10 years ago. I always go back to that game, that LSU-Bama game in 2011, which really wasn't even 10 years ago, the 9-6 game and the defensive players in the field and the way that game was basically played. They call it the logo game, because it was played basically between the 230s. And how much different Alabama looks now, and how much differently they've recruited in the way Nick has played offensively, bringing in Lane and now Sarkisian. I tell you what, Sarkisian has done an incredible job of calling plays and over again, getting Alabama in favorable, what I would call mismatches or matchups with opposing defenses this year.
And it's so interesting too, Chris, because Nick Saban resisted it not many years ago, but probably back in 2013, 2014, when the game was speeding up, and he kept fighting it. He didn't like it. He yelled about it, and then he very quickly adapted.
Remember his comment? Remember the statement, is this what we want football to be?
Right.
I know you remember that. And, you know, he hated the tempo. He called them fastball guys. I'm talking about offensive guys who want to play fast and go tempo. That just
that wasn't his idea what football was supposed to be. As a defensive guy, it prohibited him from being able to substitute situationally. But to his credit, he saw that's where football was headed. It wasn't going back. And so he brings in a Kiffa. He brings in a Sarkisian. He brings in all these other guys, analysts, to help him sort of get to where they are now. And that's the way they're playing. And, you know, kids want to play this kind of style of ball on offense. He knows that. Nobody recruits, you know, as relentlessly as he does. And you're right. That's what he did. And again, he made it very clear when we were talking last Friday that he doesn't like it. This is not the way he would choose for football to be, but it's the way he is. And I can promise you this, Nick likes winning. I don't think he really cares what it looks like or what the style is.
Chris, I know we're in the middle of the season, but, you know, people are always speculating on his future. I don't know if this birthday really means anything. Maybe the next one is more symbolic. But as often as you communicate with him, has anything changed, or is Nick Saban going to coach until he's 150?
He's going to keep coaching as long as he really enjoys it, and he still enjoys it. I mean, he likes, you know, he told me not being out there on the practice field when he got that initial false positive, that was hard for him. Of course, you can see him there watching practice from his home because they set him up where he can watch the whole practice, and he's talking to all the different coaches via phone and saying, you know, run that over. You know, this number messed up. Like he's there at practice, standing up. You could just see him standing up in front of the video. They're watching practice like they can hear him. That's the part he loves the best, and that's the part I think he would miss, you know, being at practice and coaching and developing. And he still likes getting on the plane and going recruiting. So until that gets old or that becomes a chore for him, I think he's going to keep going. It's changed, though. The way you coach players, you know, we've seen that over the last few years. Players come onto campus now in the social media age. There's so much. It's just a different dynamic. And you know, he's done a nice job. In fact, I was talking to Najee Harris this year, and he said, you know, the part that coach doesn't get enough credit for is he's great at listening to his players and engaging his players. I mean, he meets a lot with his leadership council, and he says coach really hears his players. And you know, at 69 and getting ready to be 69, a lot of people may think he's out of touch, Paul, but he's not. You know, he's done a nice job of evolving in that area as well.
Before you go, you live in the Knoxville area. You have some pretty strong Tennessee ties. Not that that matters in relation to this next question, but you do have a pretty good seat at what happens on the Hill up there. And no one's suggesting anything nefarious with Jeremy Pruitt, but it has been a rough couple of weeks for him. What's going on with him, and can he pivot out of this morass that he's currently in?
You know, I think we're still seeing the growing pains, Paul, of him being a head coach. And I know people are going to say, no, wait a minute, this is his third year. But he hadn't been a head coach. And managing his staff, managing the team, all the things, the different hats you got to wear as a head coach, I think we're sort of still seeing him grow in that area. Jeremy's very good at recruiting, evaluating, developing kids. I think that's his strength. But still growing as a head coach. And I know a lot of Tennessee fans, you know, were – you know, scratching their heads and maybe saying some things they shouldn't say after the Bama game, and they hear him say that, you know, we're closing the gap. I think what Jeremy was trying to say is the roster right now maybe looks better than he thought it looked when he got there. But, you know, at some point that's got to translate on the field. And as much as people want to make fun of Butch Jones, and I know all the sound clips are still out there, you know, he did beat Georgia, and he did beat Florida, and he did win 9 games in back-to-back years. And at Tennessee, as you know, as Doug Dickey used to always say, you're always going to be measured. The coach at Tennessee is always going to be measured by how he does against Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. And that's what I felt like coming into this season. Jeremy really wanted to show marked improvement. They had to beat one of those teams. Well, he's got one more chance to do that, and that's Florida at the end of the season.
Yeah, and you know, his biggest challenge may be, you know, getting to 500 or above, because he still has A&M, Auburn, Arkansas, and that Florida game at the end, which may be his last shot. It's a pretty challenging schedule. Arkansas, A&M, Auburn, at Vanderbilt, and Florida. Chris, it is always great to have you on. We certainly enjoy it as much as anyone that we can lasso onto this rodeo. We hope you'll come back soon.
Will do, Paul. You have a great day, man.
Thank you very much. The one and only Chris Lowe. It's great to talk to him, and we will take a short break. We have a lot to do on this Thursday afternoon, and we hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Phil is up next in Tennessee. Phil, good afternoon. Welcome.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Oh, thank you, sir. You're looking good, Paul.
Thank you.
Everything. You and your family are staying safe and the crew.
Thank you very much.
Just wanted to call and talk to you a couple of things. Number one is I just wanted to thank you personally and all of your staff for the things that you've done for a lot of people, including me in this country, just by being there and letting us hear your voices and hear your opinions. And it's just so good to hear from you every day.
Phil, so, thank you yep. for saying that on behalf of everyone here. And I don't, you know, nobody knows what the future has in store for us. But if it all ended today, a comment like that would make it worth it, because it's been a challenge for everyone in this country, if in the world for that matter, over these last 8 months. And it's been our privilege to be here every day.
Yes, sir. And the hard work that goes into it, I'm sure, is unseen. But myself and I know a lot of other people really enjoy the show. We love y'all guys, and keep doing what you're doing.
Well, you stay well. Thank you.
Go ahead. Okay. The other thing I'd like to say is today the beginning of the Smart Aleck Yankee calls, or what is?
Yeah, I swear we had more calls we had more calls in the first 20 minutes from New York than a New York sports station would get in a normal afternoon.
I know, and it's and that Frank guy, man, he just needs to keep his opinions up there and just keep talking with the New Yorker. He don't need to come down here and mess in our business. So anyway, I just want to get that off.
Yeah, we need to jam the New York signal. I mean, I never thought I'd say we're getting too many calls from New York.
We are, and I mean, man, that Frank, he just jumped on the wagon right in a hurry. And
he wanted people fired, prosecuted. It sounded like he was running. He was running the police department in Belarus or something.
Well, it almost sounded like he was part of the FBI.
Well, the FBI at least has some standards. Frank didn't care about due process at all. Hey, thanks for the call. Matt is up next in Cincinnati. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
First-time caller, Paul. Big Ten fan, FCC fan, grew up in Columbus, obviously a Buckeye fan. I wanted to further the discussion on the Wisconsin cancellation. From what I'm reading on Bucknuts and other news media outlets, this has been a Barry Alvarez decision to cancel the game, a Wisconsin decision. Their first-team quarterback and second-team quarterback and a few other players tested positive. Therefore, he took the initiative to cancel the ball game. I don't believe this was a Big Ten decision.
No, but hold on a second. You're right. They were close to the line of what the Big Ten would have stepped in and stopped them. I don't think they quite reached it over that. The Big Ten, my biggest criticism of the Big Ten since they came back was the 3-week protocol, which is going to keep the Wisconsin quarterback out. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's bad. But my concern is, if you can just cancel, if you're not meeting the Big Ten's protocol to cancel your game, doesn't that open up a can of worms for future games, not just this year but next year? Say Justin Fields got injured, and couldn't then Ohio State, or say the Milton and Michigan got injured, couldn't they just say, well, we're canceling this weekend?
By the way, let me come back and answer that in a moment. We're up against a break. Back with much more.